Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We go live to Ukraine right now and Joseph Lindsley. Joseph, what are we listening to?
Wendy, good afternoon from Lviv. This is the Ukrainian version of the old Italian partisan song from the 1900s, the Bella Ciao song. And it was originally a protest song of Italian workers who were seeking freedom. And since February, many Ukrainians have made their own version of this song, really feeling deeply what it means to resist tyrannical powers. And very interestingly, now this song is also sung by people in Hong Kong who are oppressed by the government of Beijing and by the women of Iran. It's been one of the theme songs of the Iranian women as they've stood up to tyranny. And I have memories of this song from back in June when I was on a supply mission in Zaporizhia in southeastern Ukraine. And it would have been a very scary day. Our Russian artillery had been firing in our direction, and we were racing away with the windows open through the beautiful fields of southern Ukraine, listening to this great song of resistance. And the words, it goes, "One morning, even at dawn, the earth began to tremble, and our blood at once started to boil. Missiles from the sky, tank columns came our way." And it's a great symbol of the Ukrainian resistance. But also, as we look at the new, the end of 2022 here, it's amazing. We've all gone through 2020, the pandemic, and 2021, and now 2022 with the war. And listening to this song, I also think of that first morning, February 24th. Those first hours when Russia's invasion began. And Wendy, I flew to Ukraine March 2020 to give one lecture at a university in Lviv. I only planned to be here for 2 weeks, and I stayed through a pandemic and now through the war. And when the pandemic started, I realized that this was a country that was truly free. There's such a free spirit here. As a friend of mine says, that no one can govern the Ukrainian people. And President Zelensky said, I think in an interview yesterday, Ukraine has helped the West find itself again with this sense of freedom. And that's what I saw here during the pandemic. And so I stayed. And then when the rumors of war began, when the pandemic was starting to ease up, I said, maybe it's time for me to go back to America, see my family. But then just at that moment, about October, November 2021, the rumors of war became very strong. The warnings from Washington increased week by week up until February 24th. And on February 23rd, I was at the jazz club, the LV Cafe in Lviv. The son of Ella Fitzgerald was singing.
Wow.
The blues. And yeah, he's a Black American who lives in Ukraine because it was the freest country in the world. And he was there singing. And his mom's Christmas music, because Ukrainians play Christmas music until the end of February, was playing in between the sets on the speakers. And so it was a kind of a moment of peace, but we all felt something bad was coming. And I went home and I had to do some American television that night at 4 o'clock in the morning. And as soon as I finished that TV hit talking about Ukraine, I said, Ukraine is, everyone else is saying Ukraine's going to fall so quickly. I said, that's not what I've seen here. And a girl I know, a Jewish friend who has worked at the Pentagon, she sent me this text. And it simply was the words of Psalm 91. And it said, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day." And when she sent that, I knew that the war had begun. And just minutes later, I began to receive phone calls and text messages from friends first in Kharkiv and then in Kyiv. And in the background, I could hear the explosions. And ever since then, everything has changed.
And that was almost a year ago, as you mentioned, February 24th. We don't always see a lot on the news here in the States, but last night there were so many reports after one of the worst missile attacks since the war started almost a year ago.
Yeah, so we see two things. We see, Russia has been able to refine its attacks and actually has been able to, it seems to even build up some strength. But we also see on the flip side, amazing Ukrainian resilience. And this is, as we look into the next year, this is the point we're at. And I think a friend of mine texted me yesterday. He said, only the U.S. can break the vector of this war. A top Ukrainian official said to Politico a few days ago that it is like we're in a video game, because Ukraine has to prove itself, and then America will say, okay, here's the next level of weapon, but then you got to prove yourself again. And for Ukrainians, and I think, as we mentioned yesterday, for many people in Europe, it's a bit slow. And, you know, I worked in Washington and New York. I know how a lot of that works. I know some of the games. And, you know, it's easy for politicians to claim that they're doing a lot, and they throw out big numbers saying that they're making a great show of helping. And these weapons from America have done, you know, I mean, the HIMARS that arrived in June changed the course of the war. But now Ukraine is saying, in order to end this in victory, they need actually longer range weapons to be more offensive against the Russians. And we're in kind of a stalemate, in a sense, because Ukrainians don't have those weapons. And the big question, I think, and looking at the coming months and as we enter into the new year, I know the American people want victory here, and they want it more quickly to get the world back to some kind of peace and prosperity.
We are having some technical difficulties right now. Joseph Lindsley on the line with us live from Ukraine.
Wendy.
You there? You're back. Or you were
yes,
back.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're fine.
I'm back. Yes.
Okay. You know, I go ahead and continue with what you were saying. I didn't mean to have technical difficulties interrupt you.
No. Yeah. This is the nature of life here in these moments.
There is a war going on, you know.
Yeah. And we've had air alarms off and on throughout the day and intermittent power cuts. But I think the main thing is we look into the upcoming months, you know, what the people of the world want Ukraine to win. I mean, that's why there's been such great support for Ukraine. People stand with people who want to be free, and they realize the threat that Russia poses. But the question is, you know, do the politicians in Washington and Brussels have the same will, the same refusal to be afraid of Russia's threats? And Ukraine, so Ukraine now is saying, you know, that this is like living in a video game. You got to keep proving yourself to get to the next level of weapons. I think what happened yesterday, we see the great incompetence of the Ukrainian military. And so now they're saying, can we have some more longer range weapons so we can get victory more quickly?
And please, excuse me, go to Ukrainianfreedomnews.com. You can see the Ukrainian resistance as they shoot down that missile. I watched that video with my husband probably 10 times last night. It's just invigorating and just so hopeful to watch that. And we're on the eve of New Year's Eve. Tell us about, you have a champagne story?
Well, yeah, and before the champagne story, I want to say for everyone in the audience, who, if you go and watch that video of the Ukrainians shooting down the Russian rocket, I hope everyone takes pleasure and feels that they were part of that, because this is the first war where we have people, you know, people that send small donations or the nice letters from listeners and people paying attention to this. Everyone is part of that victory. So I hope at this New Year's that you raise a glass to celebrate your role in this victory for free people. Please. And I don't know if we have time for the champagne story, but I really wanted to make sure I express my gratitude to Wendy, to you, to Bob, and to the whole audience.
Well, yeah, we do have time. We have about a minute and a half. Can you get it in?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I was at the cafe in Lviv, and there was a family. There was a mother and her daughter. They're living in Germany as refugees, but they came back to Lviv to meet their husband and father, who's in Kyiv, and Lviv was the middle point. And they had they got a bottle of sparkling wine to mark the occasion. And we started talking. They gave me a glass, and I looked at the label, and the vineyard is in Bakhmut, that city that has been totally destroyed. And I was there. I was next to the vineyard in June, helping evacuate people. And now it's that whole street is gone. The vineyard is destroyed. Everything is gone. And so we drank that glass with great hope for the future. But just a reminder of, you know, this. We have moments to celebrate even in the war. And so I hope we can share that with everyone back in America. But it's still a difficult fight and a long way to go.
Well, Joseph, you took the time to thank Bob Surratt, who is off today, and WGN Radio. We really need to show gratitude to you because you're our eyes and ears over there, and we wouldn't know half the stuff we know without you. We wish you safety and happiness and just a wonderful 2023. I hope New Year's Eve goes on without a hitch over there for you.
Thank you, Wendy. You as well. And I welcome everyone to visit UkrainianFreedomNews.com to support our team of volunteers. It's just all volunteer. And we have videos of Ukrainian Christmas. And you can also take a walk through a devastated church in Bakhmut. But thank you all. Thank you, Wendy. It's always a joy to speak with you. We need these moments of joy in these dark times. So Happy New Year's to everyone.
You as well. And raise a glass to Ukraine, everyone, this New Year's Eve. Thank you so much, Joseph. God bless.
Дуже дякую. Thank you from Ukraine.